Yes, hello everyone. Welcome to the Siren, the place where Mitch and myself have a little bit of time to talk about things in footy other than trade. Mitchell, welcome back.
Hello, Samuel.
Do you want to kick us off tonight?
Yeah. I was watching the Collingwood Port game on the weekend, and I loved everything about Brodie Mychek's game. That's a can of Bobby for those listening.
Creaming.
Not a can of
soda.
Alcohol.
Well, yeah, not yet.
And I thought, how am I going to talk about this guy this week on the Air Raid Siren? I just think this guy does not get enough love. He's been Collingwood's leading goal kicker for the last 5 years.
Is that right?
5 years.
Mm. I
mean, they've played in prelims.
Goal kickers, but yeah.
They've won flags in that time. 5 years in a row. That's a bloody good effort.
It's a very good effort for a bloke who wasn't drafted as a forward.
One of the biggest clubs in the land. Drafted as a key defender out of Port Melbourne. Picked 22 in the 2018 rookie draft.
Tasmanian,
yep. Went right through local footy in Victoria. Played VFL at a couple of different clubs. Werribee, Port Melbourne. I'm sure I'm missing one there. But I just thought, I want to give some love to Brodie Mychek. He's chased down tackles. His ability to be a key target in attack. Collingwood have tried different avenues in front of the ball over time, and he's been the constant in the last 5 years. He was drafted in into 2017, but the 2018 rookie draft. Debuts for the club in 2018. And then from 2019 onwards, all 5 years, he's now into his 6 year as a forward. He's been the leading goal kicker for the club, and he was taken as a key back out of Port Melbourne, a really strong performer in the VFL. But I just wanted to look at some other players in the competition who have been in a similar boat, because a lot of times they're drafted in one position and then excel in another. James Sicily was drafted as a mid third tall forward, kicked 8 goals in a VFL game in his first year at Box Hill Hawthorn. He played 2 or 3 years at the AFL as a key forward before settling down back. He's now, I think he's an All-Australian.
Yep.
All-Australian captain, one of the most reliable, dependable key backs in the competition, plays well above his height. And if they didn't have him, I reckon it'd be a scary proposition of where the Hawks back line could fall to. Blake Hardwick, a teammate of his, kicked 56 goals in 16 games in his draft year for the Eastern Rangers, and now has actually ironically gone forward in the last couple of games to help almost pinch a game against Collingwood and train there over the preseason. But he's one of the better mid-sized key backs in the competition. Liam Jones, drafted as a forward at the Bulldogs. That didn't work. Went back, started to find his niche there at Carlton, then picked up again by the Bulldogs on a 3-year deal, and he's their mainstay there. He's their number one key back.
Yeah, it was tortured Carlton fans would say it was the one positive out of the Mick Boldhouse reign.
Was he the one that moved?
Well, I think there are different views, but he turned into a... Was it Josh Fraser who might have been coaching the Northern Blues at that time? I'm guessing. Turned him into a key defender, and he was embarrassingly dominating so much as a key back. They just had to bring him in.
Yeah.
He never looked back. He's still a star now.
Yeah. Never give up on a forward until you've tried him in defence.
They would be actually premiership favourites if Carlton still had Liam Jones playing alongside Wiedering.
So you'd have Wiedering, Jones, Marchbank maybe forced out, and McGovern still there.
Marchbank probably doesn't play, yeah.
Yeah. Couple others. Jeremy Howe, forward who's gone back, premiership player.
Another Tasmanian.
Andy McGrath was basically a mid, but now pure halfback. I think it's his best role.
Yeah. He's really going to be a little bit small to play permanent mid as an AFL player.
Yeah. Then Harry Sheasel, in more recent times, is started half forward in the under-18s, was picked up as a mid-half forward, is now...
Which is when he'll play there.
He'll play there eventually. Yeah. Clarko's just getting him in. So, yeah, I just wanted to find a way to talk about Brodie Mychek because I loved game and doesn't get enough love externally outside of the Pies fans.
I also want to talk about something that has come from that game, or I started thinking more about it, and that is the Ken Hinckley handover plan.
Ah, yes.
With Josh Carr.
Yep.
So I've thought about this one for a while, and Caro's led the charge on that David Kosh and Ken Hinckley basically have a handshake agreement that at the end of his contract, which is the end of 2025, that Josh Carr will take over as coach. And I've never really been a one for understanding why you would plan handovers with coaches. I think things change too quickly in footy. I think list profiles change too quickly. I think that circumstances with rival clubs changed too quickly. That being, if Chris Scott became available, you know, if someone of that ilk became available midway through this year or next year, and you're locked into a guy who we know nothing about as an AFL coach, I just find it a fascinating thing.
Mm. Especially when you're in premiership contention, like the Power want to be.
Yeah.
The Paul Roos, Simon Goodwin one was different because they were never contending.
They were actually, yeah, exactly right. They wanted to almost start again, didn't they?
Yeah.
So I think that Port Adelaide are going down the wrong track here. And
do you think he's been told he's the next coach?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Or is it more, hey, don't go for these other jobs like Richmond last year. We think you're well positioned.
I don't think you can do one without the other.
Oh, you could easily say to him, hey, we think you're a good chance to be Ken's replacement in time.
But Hawthorne said that to Sam Mitchell. And he was like, no, like, if you don't want me to go for the Collingwood job, make me coach.
Well, maybe we're going to get to a situation where we got to a Sam Mitchell with Clarko eventually.
Maybe, but that was a mess.
Because Collingwood came for Sam Mitchell and that sort of fast-tracked that process.
But so that was a mess. And Hawthorne had one foot in each camp and they had Kennett wanting to do one thing and they had the CEO and the rest of the club wanting to do another thing. And it just became a game of chicken, which Kennett lost. Yeah. Clarko won.
Got a nice payout.
Well, he's getting paid $900,000 to not coach Hawthorn, and then goes and picks his own job with North Melbourne. Like, that was a stroke of genius from Clarko, is a bit of business acumen. But Hawthorn put themselves in an awkward position at the time as well. Like, they should have said to Sam, if you want to – look, we think you're our next coach, right? But Clarko's still got a year and a half to run on his contract. If you want to go for the Collingwood job, go for it. Like, that's fine. If you don't get it, you can come back.
Yeah.
But we're not going to be held to ransom as to whether we want it. Now, in the end, Sam won and Clarko won and Hawthorn probably lost. But long term, it might be good because it looks like Sam's a wonderful coach. But, you know, he's under the pump at the moment, having only won one game this year.
And you talk about where the list build goes. It took back to your original point around where the list management go, like the direction of the list.
That's right. And so – anyway, the point that I'm trying to make is that I think you make a rod for your own back as a footy club and you back yourself into a corner when you say, unproven Josh Carr, you are definitely our next coach and this is when it's going to happen. So what if Port win the flag this year or next year?
Mm.
What happens then?
It's like Mick and Bucks.
Yeah. I don't think it works. I think history would tell you, as to your point, particularly in premiership contention,
yeah,
the handover plan doesn't work. I think clubs fall into this hole a little bit. And I do wonder, and maybe this is for a future siren topic for me, but I do think, like politicians, club administrators do fall into the trap of job protection for themselves as opposed to – now, it is a job and it's a high-paying job and they should want to stay in it for as long as possible. I understand that.
But you always hear footy people go, the club's bigger than any individual.
But no, because it is,
they've moved through.
Because it is, though, Mitch.
No, it is. People say that, but do they act that?
Yeah, that's right. Like, ultimately, you're there serving your members in a different way to a job that, say, you and I do, or a different job to if you worked at a bank, or a different job to if you were a teacher. You know, like, there's a greater good for everything if you want to dig into it. But for a football club, it becomes about the members that actually pay to turn up to watch, to support. That becomes a very different thing. And so I'm now watching, and it comes back to made a rod for their own back. They've put pressure on themselves now, because now every time they have a loss like this, it's like, oh, we've got another 18 months of Ken.
Mm.
And then we get Josh. And then every time they have a good win, it's like, well, what? They don't need Josh. They got Ken. It's like, just let Ken coach until you don't want him to coach anymore, and then find someone else. And if that's Josh, great. But could be anyone.
I'll just
imagine if Michael Voss wins a flag with Carlton, and then, you know, someone at Port goes, let's get Vossie back. You know, like, he was assistant coach for here a long time. You know, he'd be a great – I'm making things up.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, weird things will happen in the next 18 months.
Throw this one back at you. I think Adam Uze is going to be a tremendous coach. And But all the raps on him at Melbourne and Hawthorn suggest that he's
– everyone said that about Brendan Bolton as well.
Yeah. Could Richmond have done the Adam Kingsley dimmer? So, like, we're talking about how they don't work.
Yeah.
No, but was there a scenario there where they could have done that at Richmond?
It's a great question. It's a great devil's advocate question. Because they could have. And then, you know, does...
And then he goes...
Is it a cleaner thing for dimmer? Cleaner exit? Kingsley, you know, easier transition? But, you know, would Kingsley is... would Kingsley's record to start at Richmond, where it's not a fresh start, and he doesn't get...
And the list is far more advanced at the Giants.
Yeah, and it's his fresh take. So, yeah, I'm a bit worried about Port because I thought they'd be really good, and their best is really good, but they're not good when they get challenged. That stat that Kane Corns on Footy Classified this week gave, that only 9 times for the year has the centre bounce been Horn Francis, Dersma.
Who am I to question Butters. Kane? Who's
is it? No, Dersma. No,
Butters, yes. Rosie.
Sorry,
Horn Francis.
Sorry, Butters, Dersma. Butters, Rosie, Horn Francis.
The only thing I'd say about that is, aren't they all ball winners? Those guys.
I'm sorry. Is that not the point of the centre bounce?
It's also not leaking them the other way. Like if you've got
they
three,
don't,
guys...
they don't play sweepers anymore. They play man on man.
But you also need some defensive mindset. Sweepers. Like that's why Willem Drew gets a game.
I know the theory, but like just put your best players in there.
I have 9 times.
9 times out of how many? 50.
At least.
That's not enough.
There would have been 120 centre bounces, you think, if there's they've played 6 games, at least 20 centre bounces a game. Mm. Yeah. Who's the next senior coach outside of Josh Carr?
Ash Hansen?
I don't know. Gia at Essendon.
Daniel Jean Siracusa?
Yeah.
Yeah. Brent Montgomery?
I saw Kane pushing him recently.
Yep. Premiership teammates.
Yep.
Hmm.
Was big at the Dogs and then fired a footy and then doing good things at the Giants now.
Coach Melbourne Grammar?
One of the private schools, yeah.
It was Grammar.
They all feel the same to me.
Oh.
They do.
You're a man of the people, aren't you?
I'm just...
In Middle Park. No, you're a real man of the people.
Kid, I never grew up with the whole private school thing here, so just don't... I still can't...
Well, I didn't either. You know, I sort of fell into it.
Oh. Where'd you go?
Anyway, that's all we have time for on The Siren, brought to you by the great people of Callaway. Enjoy your week. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to another podcast from Producers Clubby Sports Network. If you enjoyed the show, then it would be a massive help if you could like, follow, rate, subscribe, tap the bell, leave a review, or even share it with your friends. If you want to get in touch to share feedback, suggestions, or advertise with one of our podcasts, then email hello@producy.com.